When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He is Andrew Destin. I am Noah Hiles. As always, this show is brought to you by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern is right across from PNC Park and is Pittsburgh's home for Steak on the Stone. Andrew, the Pirates are probably very excited to get back to PNC Park. We are recording this Wednesday evening. The Pirates just got swept by the New York Mets. Got a logo baseball with them right here. Dropped 5 of 7 games on this road trip. A lot to get into before we get into our good, bad, and ugly. Just want to get your original takeaway, or initial takeaway, I should say, from this series.
A lot of places to go. I think an addendum I'll have to your comments about the Pirates when I get back to Pittsburgh. I think they probably would benefit from that day off that they're having on Thursday too. Just getting away from the game before 13 in a row, I believe, is the figure that they play. Team doesn't look good right now. The hitting is obviously something that we'll get into at large. A lot of decisions that we can get into in question. My biggest takeaway is just that this can't happen against the Mets. No disservice to the Mets. Obviously, they still have some talented players like Pete Alonso, like Lindor. Like, obviously, this lineup still has dudes. But that being said, we saw how the Mets started the season. We saw how the Pirates did. When you're going on the road, it's understandable that you can drop one. It's understandable that maybe you lose a series. But they did a good enough job of splitting against Philadelphia, just given that that's a better than their record shows Phillies team. Needed to at least get one. And given the way that they played and got pitching, they probably could have won at least 2 of these. What do you think?
Yeah, I tweeted the stat. They've now had 13 straight games where the starting pitcher has gone at least 5 innings and allowed 3 or less runs. And in those 13 games, they're 6-7. That can't happen when you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. It can't happen when you're anyone. But when you consider who these games are against, sure, some of them were against good teams like the Phillies, the Orioles. Those were the teams the Pirates beat. Like, 4 of those 6 wins came against those teams. So, they're wasting some really good starting pitching right now, which is going to be, I'll spoil it, it's going to be your good, and I'll let you get into it. And this is a team that cannot afford to waste good starts, because, you know, this isn't going to last forever. But Andrew, sorry for spoiling it. You're good at starting pitching. Talk to me more about it.
No, you're good, man. I mean, that's – and honestly, I'll expand this discussion out to a larger point is, what did we all say going into the season? What was going to be the biggest weakness or the biggest area of concern for the Pirates? It was going to be starting pitching. It has been anything but that, and this series was further, you know, demonstrating of that. Jared Jones, money through 5 innings, 59 pitches, was told he was going to go 5 innings, and that was the extent of it. We can discuss that more further but later, but Bailey Falter, another solid start from him. Not perfect, but good enough. I mean, you look at the way that they threw the ball this series. It's like the bullpen didn't hold up its end of the bargain, but the good thing is that the starting pitching is holding its own. I have questions about how sustainable that is in different fashions. We could get into individual stats about that. But, you know, Martin Perez's sinker is excellent so far. It's looked great so far. Has been one of the best sinkers in baseball, actually, depending on the analytics that you look into. So regardless, starting pitching has been really good. That was no different in this series. It's just a matter of actually taking advantage of that, and the Pirates haven't. How about yourself?
My good is that this series is over. just because, I mean, it felt like the longer this team stayed in Queens, the worse things are going to get. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like despite taking only 2 of 4 from Philly, there were a lot of positives to come out of that series. But you roll in here, fresh off the Marco Gonzalez injury news, and You know, you get three really good starts from your pitchers. You get nothing out of it. There was one extra base hit in three games, and it was Alika Williams who had the extra base hit. There's been weird injuries. I mean, Joey Bart, that injury's like the most Pirates thing ever, isn't it? You know, I mean, the guy's catching a bullpen during batting practice and a home run ball flies over the fence and hits him in the head. How does that happen? You know, who what other team does that happen to? It happens to this team, apparently. So, yeah, but I mean, it just felt like, the longer they were going to stay in this town, the worse things were going to get. Brian Hayes, just all of it, just all not great things, which we're going to get into in the further of the show now. I'm just going to keep it rolling. My bad, and again, there's a lot of bad to highlight. This team got swept, didn't score a lot of runs. My bad is the bullpen. The bullpen was supposed to be the strength of this pitching staff, and honestly, Andrew, it's been the worst part. You know, it had a really good first week of the season. It had a really good series against the Marlins, especially. But, you know, David Bednar got rocked again. And you could say, oh, whatever, it's a low leverage thing. It's hadn't pitched in a while, but eventually you're going to need to see this guy have two good, you know, outings in a row. And we haven't seen that yet. Aroldis Chapman did not have a good series. Did not have a good road trip in general. I mean, Hunter Stratton came back down to earth a little bit. It just, you pick your guy, Luis Ortiz, Jose Hernandez. It's not good from the bullpen. The starting pitching was good enough to put this team in a spot to either win games or be in a place to potentially win a game. And the bullpen was handed the ball, and in all three games, it made it harder for the team to win. It's not the sole reason why the Pirates lost all three of these games in Queens, but it played a pretty significant factor. That's my bad. Andrew, what's yours?
My bad would be taking pitches, and I'm sure this will rile up a number of you as we get into hitting discussion, discourse about how the Pirates approach their ABs. My way I'll look at it is this. It's you live by the sword, you die by the sword. The first week in change, people were praising the Pirates about how many pitches they were seeing, how they were forcing starters out of games early. One series in particular that comes to mind is against the Nationals when, you know, Mackenzie Gore, they made him throw a bunch of pitches in you know, high intensity, you know, high stress innings. But the problem is that, yes, the Pirates have the second most walks in baseball, but at some point you have to swing the bat. And that did not take place against the Mets. And a figure that I'll bring up is that the Pirates have been aided by the league's fifth highest BABIP, you know, batting average on balls in play, through this first, you know, whatever you want to call it, 10% of the season. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but at any rate, when they've put the ball in play, you know, they've been rewarded for it. The problem is, if you're not swinging enough, eventually that figure, it's going to drop on you. It's going to come back down to earth a little bit. They're about 20 percentage points up on last year's average. Eventually, that's going to go back down. That's going to catch up with you. So at some point, you have to question the hitting approach. You have to say, is there a happy medium? Because that really got exploited. And I think you can take that back to the Phillies series a little bit, too. It was a little bit different, but certainly in this one, of going at a bunch of hitters who were, frankly, afraid to take the bat off their shoulders.
Yeah, I think Shelton even expressed that. I mean, I don't think, I know he expressed that after the game. He said they need to be a little bit more aggressive at the plate. And it's kind of like, you know, the I think you should leave me. It's like, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. It's like, we all know why this is the thing. This is the approach that's team-wide. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, a 5'10", 180-pound infielder or a 6'7", 210-pound freak athlete shortstop. Everyone is kind of taught the same approach in this organization when they go up to hit. And, you know, you're going to have results where some guys look very comfortable with this approach and other guys don't. And it gets exposed sometimes. My big thing on this too is, you know, Jared Jones talked about how leading into his start, he knew that the Mets were a team that was very patient at the plate. And he said, all right, if you're going to be patient, I'm going to attack the zone. I'm going to throw a lot of strikes. I'm going to go right after you. And I'm going to get ahead in every count. And then you're going to have to be, you know, battling from behind. And isn't that ironic? Because that's exactly what the Mets did to the Pirates this series. You know, you could talk about building pitch counts and everything. And sure, like, yeah, they got the guy. I think every starter for the Mets – like reached like 95 pitches before the seventh, you know? So that's good, I guess, but it's like, all right, well, if they're throwing six innings and only allowing two runs, who cares what the pitch count is? They got through six. Yep. And when the Mets have a really good bullpen, which it's pitching really well right now, there's nothing more you can really do. So, yeah, the approach, it has to – and again, I'm not sitting here, you know, going up against Andy Haynes or whatever. I mean, he's a big league hitting coach. The guy was hired for a reason, but it's more just like, yeah, like you said, Andrew, there needs to be a happy medium. I think there needs to be certain exceptions for certain people in the lineup where it's like, hey, you should be less, you know, lenient. You should be more aggressive than – O'Neill Cruz should be more aggressive at the plate than Andrew McCutchen. I think that that's fair. Like, Andrew McCutchen has been in the league for 15 years. He has an established eye. He knows the strike zone. He knows the umpire's strike zones probably way better than any scouting report or whatever can give him. So he probably understands this approach a little bit better than, you know, a guy in his early 20s who it's just kind of like, hey, see ball, hit ball. Go up there and do your thing. So the ugly. There's two topics here. The big one, I don't want to say ugly was my Twitter mentions yesterday, but honestly, but what that relates to is the Jared Jones discourse.
Yeah.
59 pitches, 50 strikes. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in my life. Like, in any level of baseball, like, you could even think of, like, the most dominant Little League pitcher. You know? Like, kids throwing at least 10 balls in 59 pitches, right? And that was unbelievable what I watched. And I remember going to the media lounge, getting myself a nice little warm tea. And I come back out, and as I'm walking to my seat, I hear, now on the mound for the Pirates, number 48, Luis Ortiz. And I was like, why? And boy, was there a lot of asking why and trying to explain why over the last 24 hours now. And I mean, the guy's on an innings limit. You look, he's thrown 122, I believe, in 2022. And he threw around 126 last year. So if you go by that trajectory, typically, you know, they like to go up 20 to 30 innings a year as an early major league pitcher. So he's probably going to be around 150. He's well on pace to shatter that right now. So you're going to have a couple of starts here and there where you're capped at five innings. That's just the way it works in today's baseball. A lot of baseball fans disagree with that strategy, or maybe would like a little bit more of a human feel to it, saying, hey, guy only threw 59 pitches. Maybe we can get him a sixth. I don't know, Andrew. What says you?
The point that I'll bring up, which is, you know, this is more in just talking with different people in baseball circles, and it's a point that I want to bring up that I didn't see a lot of it on Twitter or people bringing up, but the up-downs are an important component to this. Every time that you get up for an inning, when you're throwing your eight warm-up pitches, that's part of the counter, too. Now, I get it. Some people may attack me and say, well, a warm-up pitch is not the same as throwing in a game. Correct. It's not the same stress. But I bring that up to say that that's what's part of the equation here, and that's why, in part, there's a hard cap on the five innings, is that that's factored in. All of that's factored in. And I also think that you have to look out for Jared Jones's long-term health. Now, I understand it's April. You want to win games. The Pirates, first in the NL Central at that time. You know, obviously now still doing well with their record. But Jared is 22. He is supposed to be part of this plan for the long time, or the long term. So the way I perceive it is this, is yes, it is very confusing. 59 pitches, 50 strikes, 5 innings. I haven't seen that before at any time. I understand it. I'm not condoning it, but I understand the rationale, and I think it's a deeper – I think – the point that I'm trying to get at is there's a deeper discussion here than just the pitch count. I think that's something that you talk in baseball circles to people at the minor league level. It's important with the up-downs of getting guys through, okay, each time you go up for an inning. Like, nobody on a rehab assignment, for instance, they never want to bring a guy in, you know, with an out already. You know, they want to have a guy have a fresh inning so that he can have an up-down so it can be clean, his normal routine. Like, I think that kind of matters here for Jared, too. Now, you guys are still allowed to not be happy about it, because I think this is an important discussion, really, about just baseball and the trajectory of the sport.
Yeah, I also think Jason wrote this in his column. I think he ran this morning, yes. Where he said, what would Pirate fans be able to stomach more? What happened with Jared Jones Tuesday night, where he throws 59 pitches, he dominates a one-hitter, or if they let him stay in, and then after the game, Shelton says, listen, the plan was five innings for him today. Clearly, he was in the midst of something special. So we let him go another 2-3. And because of that, he will not be making his next start. We will be doing a bullpen game because this guy's special. And when he's out there, we're going to let him compete. We're going to let him be Jared Jones. But we also need to think about him long term. It almost sounds like that's better, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe yeah. not. Like, I think from a perspective of someone who just wants to watch entertaining baseball, I think it's better to like not have the carrot dangled in front of you, to just either be able to go all out and then have nothing the next time, than just have a little taste of it. Because who knows what would have happened if he stayed out there? That's like the most frustrating part about it. Is like, I mean, it's a 1-0 game, and you know the margin of error is so thin. And this is a guy who has allowed, like, the bulk of his runs he has allowed in the major leagues have come off of home runs, right? So I mean, one swing of the bat and you just wasted however many more pitches that he did not need to throw. But at the same time, it's like, who's to say he couldn't throw a complete game in under 100 pitches? A guy from the Boston Red Sox just did it today. So, I mean, it looked like he was on pace to do a Maddox. So, well, no. Who knows? Andrew, what's your final ugly before we wrap this up?
What a lovely discussion we've had. I'll just add that note. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm wrapping this up with another ugly, and that's Ke'Bryan Hayes' back ailment. We saw it the last two games, wasn't in the lineup because the lower back issues were troubling him again. I don't need to tell you all what he's been dealing with the last couple of years. Obviously, that kept him out of a chunk of games last year. He only played in 124. Was certainly still very effective, won that gold glove last year when healthy, but you never want to see this problem rear its ugly head, especially not in April, and especially not for a guy who has documented chronic back problems. This is not something that's going away. I'm not saying this all to all of you to say, hey, well, you know, red flags, season's over, nothing along those lines. The point I'm getting at is that for anybody who thought that Ke'Bryan Hayes' back was good and he was going to play 162, think again, this is something that's going to be part of him. This is part of his baseball formula, however you want to write it up. And it's happening again. And that's certainly something to monitor, just given how the Pirates are going to approach it moving forward. The good thing is they have a capable defender at third in Triolo, who's, you know, done a banner job at second. That helps. But obviously, this is the reigning gold glove winner. Having him out of the lineup, both for his bat and for his glove, that's a problem.
Yep. Completely agree. I mean, that's the first key piece to this whole thing that they extended, and they've yet to get 150 games out of him, right? Am I wrong to say that? I don't think. Yeah. So, I mean, that's tough. And that's not to say that it can't happen this year, but I mean, like, the bat, it's not in his control. Like, it's not like he doesn't want to be out there, but
right.
If he goes on the IL, and I'm not saying he will or won't, that'll be three straight years with a back injury on the IL. So we'll see what happens there. Andrew, Red Sox coming to town this weekend. What's the one thing you're looking at from the Red Sox? One key to that series?
Get starting pitching out of the game. The Red Sox starting pitching is money. I believe, as of us recording this podcast, they lead the majors in team ERA for starting pitching. It's a little bit over 2. That's good. I say all that. This is a good rotation that has exceeded expectations, and frankly, a Red Sox team that so far in general has exceeded expectations. Get to that rotation. This is another opportunity to see, is this legit? Does Boston have some great arms, or can the Pirates get after it? That's my big key to this series.
Yeah, mine is, I think you saw me chuckle while you're talking there. And the reason I chuckled, I looked up Tyler O'Neill's numbers. This guy has a 238 OPS plus right now. He is probably the most dangerous hitter in baseball. So up to this point in this season. I mean, they saw another one of them in Pete Alonso, and I think they actually did a pretty good job in limiting him. But I mean, this guy is otherworldly right now. He's almost worth one WAR, and we've played, 20 games this season? He has 15 hits, 7 of them are home runs. Almost half of the base hits he has this season are home runs. He's hitting .313 with 8 runs batted in, a stolen base. His OPS is 1290, and like I said, a .238 OPS plus. For people who don't follow those advanced of metrics, a league average OPS plus is 100. So he is more than double better of the league average in OPS right now. So yeah, keeping an eye on this guy, that's something. And he's familiar with this ballpark. He's played a lot of games at PNC Park. So Tyler O'Neill starting pitching should be a fun series. I don't know. You look at it like on paper, this is something where it's like they should continue to struggle. But like, this is also one where it's like, I wouldn't be shocked if they just won three, you know, because that's just kind of how it works with this team sometimes.
Yeah, that's baseball. That's the Pirates. I don't know. They take two out of three. They get off the schneid and play a little bit better. How about that?
Yeah, could be interesting. All right. Well, excited to see you, buddy. Haven't seen you in person for a while. Excited to get back home. Haven't been home in a while. I mean, my mailbox has got to be overflowing. I just found out my car is parked somewhere where it can't be because they're putting a gas line on my street. Had to have my neighbor move it. It's chaos. I'm excited to get home to Pittsburgh. He's Andrew Destin. I'm Noah Hiles. Thanks for tuning in to Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel, podcast network. Check out all of our work at post-gazette.com, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.